All right, structure of the church. If you look in your books on page 2, the introduction. And the verse there is Ephesians 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. So these next few lessons are going to look at the individual ministries of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Now, I hope you can just kind of bear with me on these, because I tried to put as much information about each one as possible, because many times we know certain things about certain ministries, like on the prophets, I think it's 19 pages of information. So you're going to just kind of have to bear with me, because if you get overloaded, just grab a hold of what you can. But I wanted to give a full rounded description of each ministry. Each one has their own particular grace and impartation to the body of Christ. And even within the realms of a particular grace, such as apostles, you may find different graces, strengths, and spiritual gifts. There's no such thing as a cookie-cutter ministry. Each one will have variations. These lessons try to cover the outline and description of how each is described in Scripture, but you must allow for the differences. Paul is a pastor. Kirk is a pastor. I am a pastor. But none of us minister quite the same. We don't have the same strengths. We don't have the same weaknesses. There's a different impartation, but yet it all falls under the category of pastor. Apostles. You think, well, every apostle should be just like this guy. No, they're not going to be like that guy. They will have many traits that are similar, but they might have different gifts that are being used in their lives. They might have a different temperament. So there's a variety of differences that God uses, but he's still able to have them do and accomplish whatever particular grace it is that he's given to them. And so that's one of the things that we've got to learn to have allowance for, because sometimes people get this mentality. I know in the church world it's like that, because a lot of churches are board run rather than shepherd run. And so when they're looking for a new pastor and they have them try out, they're looking for somebody who's usually similar to what they've experienced. And so they go through quite a few people on the pulpit ministry. Whereas somebody with a different way of approaching can be just as good a shepherd. But then again, that's a whole different ballgame on how that's approached. Right, each of these five ministries is given by Christ to the church. He gives grace to the individuals so that they may function in these roles. These ministries are not attained by aspiring to be one, by study and application, or by any other means. God has either called you to one of these ministries or he has not. Part of the problem with the worldwide church today is that we have ministers in authority that should not be in authority. Some have sought these positions out of sincerity, while others have sought them for advantage. But we must realize that God is the one who gives the grace. Hopefully, out of these messages, you'll be able to see the importance of these ministries, what they do, and how they will help to equip the saints to do the work of God. And then just so that you know that all definitions are taken from a multitude of dictionaries so that you can kind of get a well-rounded grasp of the particular word and what each dictionary is given. I didn't put reference notes in there. I just use a wide variety of them. All right, apostles. Point one. 12 were chosen by Jesus, and I have a typo right at the beginning. It's Luke 6, not 16. Turn to Luke 6, verse 12, because we run into discrepancy right from the get-go. Luke 6, verse 12. Came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called on him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom he named apostles. Simon, whom he also named Peter, Andrew his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which was also the traitor. Look in Matthew 10, verse 1. He called unto him his 12 disciples. He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, Peter, Andrew's brother, James the son of Zebedee, John his brother, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, Lebbeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Now if you read those two accounts, you're going to say, well, wait a minute. One didn't have Lebbeus, who's called Thaddeus. You will find, and you can look it up for yourself, and also Mark 3, verse 14 through 19. We won't go through that list. Levi is also Matthew. Bartholomew, commentaries believe that he's Nathaniel. Philip and Nathaniel in the book of John. And Judas, who's Lebbeus, who's Thaddeus, is actually probably Judas. You say, what in the world is going on? Commentary said it's not uncommon for some of these guys to have two or more names. I feel like I'm going to be a George today. Just call me George today. Tomorrow I might be Sam. I don't know. I mean, it's strange to us, but I'm just helping you see if you begin to read about these guys, you're going to find some discrepancy in the lists. That's what I believe it is. In Revelation 21, 14. Or as Dave calls me, Rayo called Marti Kalevi. It's my two middle names. So he calls me Marti Kalevi all the time. My father-in-law's name was John, but everybody called him Jack. So we do have it in our society as well. Maybe not quite like they did. Revelations 21:14, and had a great wall, great and high, 12 gates, 12 angels, names written on which are names of 12 tribes. Okay. Oh, verse 14. I'm sorry, I was reading the wrong one. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Now turn to Matthew 19:28. And I'll make a comment. Peter said, "We've forsaken all, what do we have?" And Jesus said to them, "Verily I say unto you, you which have followed me, in the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." And everyone that's forsaken houses, brethren, goes on. But he says, you 12 are going to sit. The original 12 apostles, we end up minusing Judas because he betrayed Christ. And Matthias comes in to take his place. These are the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And what happens is many people say, well, those were the 12 apostles. Who wrote most of the New Testament? Good portion of it. The Apostle Paul. Well, wait a minute. That doesn't fit. That makes another apostle.
13, that's bad.
And there are other apostles. A lot of your commentaries will talk about, well, that gift ceased. And this verse that we read in Ephesians 4, verses 7 through 13, actually, we didn't read quite all of it, so let's start in verse 7 there. "Unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he says, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first in the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles." So the gifts that he gave unto men are these five gifts. He gave them after he ascended. That's a key point. The apostles of the Lamb were with him before his ascension. These five ministries that he's talking about here in Ephesians are given after he's risen from the dead. And I have on notes, these are when he ascended, apostles of the Lamb, during his ministry on earth, and these gifts, we call them fivefold ministry, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, they are given to perfect. The base of the Greek word is used of mending the nets and restoration, equipping, complete furnishing. Their job is to take the saints and help rend the holes in their lives that sin has caused. Help impart Christ to them. In the book of Galatians, Paul was talking to the Galatians. He says, I stand in doubt of you because I want to see Christ formed in you again. Because he had imparted truths that would help them see and have Christ formed in their lives. And these guys that came in talking about circumcision and you got to do this, they started believing the lies. But Paul's impartation was putting something into their lives that caused them to see and walk with Christ. I believe a fivefold ministry does that. And their ministry also helps to heal the wounds, heal the scars. A shepherd's job, especially, is running after and going after the wounded, looking for the lost, healing the broken. There's a restorative process that's going on through their ministry so that the saints can do the work of God. It's a wonderful thing. Amen. And God gave them so that they could do this to build the saints up to edify the body of Christ. And that can be seen in verse 16 where it says, as each individual does its work, the whole body is increased in love. So if he gave us five ministries to help equip, restore, strengthen church, can we just get by saying, well, we only believe in two of them? That's all we need. You're cutting yourself short. Because if Christ gave five, I want five. I mean, it's the same thing as healing. He says, healing's for us. Well, I want healing. He says, I've given you five ministries. I want five ministries. I want what he says we can have and what we need. Because the body of Christ is not going to grow unless everything is built according to his plan. And the fivefold ministry is to be here until we all come into the unity of the faith to the measure of the stature of fullness of Christ. That's a pretty high stature. If we're not at that point, then these gifts to the body of Christ are still needed. So when people start saying, well, no, the apostles were just for that day, you can turn to that scripture. It says very clearly, this is when he gave those gifts, when he ascended up on high. He gave these five ministries. Are there any other apostles named in the scriptures? Well, we turned and we looked at this one earlier in the other class, Acts 13, 1 through 4, and Acts 14. Paul and Barnabas are with the prophets and teachers. They get sent out. Chapter 14 says the apostles Barnabas and Paul. And the word apostle is defined as a delegate, messenger, one sent forth with orders, one who's sent with a message, messenger, one sent, apostle, ambassador. And in Acts 13, 1 through 4, it says the church sent them away. And the next verse says that they were sent forth by the Holy Spirit. So it was by the church and the Holy Spirit that they got sent forth, and I believe that's where their apostleship began. And you'll find that most commentaries will not name these others as apostles because they say the qualifications listed in Acts 1:16. Go ahead and turn there. People will turn here and they'll say, well, these are the lists, the qualifications for an apostle. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spoke before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. That's pretty graphic. It was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue Akeldama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it's written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, let no man dwell therein, let his bishopric, his position, let another take. Wherefore, of these men which have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, now there's a guy with two names, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Thou Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. They gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias. He was numbered with the 11. So he is actually number 13. Because Judas was an apostle, then got cut off. So he comes in, take his place, but people will say, well, the qualifications are they had to be from baptism of John until he was taken up. And nobody today lived during that time, so there can be no apostles. Let's talk about the qualifications for the apostles of the Lamb, the ones that were with him. So we have these other apostles. Let's that most of the commentaries miss the fact that they're given after Christ's ascension. In Romans 16, verse 7, it says, "Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me." They were of note. That word note means distinguished, notable, illustrious, prominent, or outstanding among the apostles. I know some of your Bibles, I think it's the NIV, has Junia as a woman, which I do not believe is necessarily true. I believe it was a man. You may look that up. There are some of the Bible translations say it's a woman.
Mine says Junia or Junius.
But from what my research, I believe it is a man. And because I don't believe there are any women among the apostles. And so now we have two men, Andronicus and Junia, who were distinguished among the apostles. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 1. We have Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus unto the church of Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a salutation in chapter 2, verse 6. It says, "Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ." So now you've got, besides Paul, you've got Silvanus and Timothy listed as apostles. Galatians 1:19, when Paul went back to Jerusalem, he said, "But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother." Well, James, the Lord's brother, was not in the list of 12, the apostles of the Lamb, so he's under the ascension apostles, so he's another one. Look in Philippians 2:25. "Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your apostle and he that ministered to my wants." That's the word apostle. So you've got Epaphroditus added into the list. Look in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 6. I know some of you are familiar with these. Some may not be. So we're going to go through them. "And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another." Wait, am I in the right? Yeah. What hast thou that you did not receive? Okay, he's going down verse 9. He says, "I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, last." He's talking about himself and Apollos. And then he goes in to say that God has set forth us, the apostles, last. If you wanted to, I'm not sure of the total structure there, but if somebody wanted to say, well, he might have just been saying that me as an apostle and some of the other ones, well, it's still showing multiple apostles, but I believe Apollos was an apostle. In 2 Corinthians 8, verse 18, it says, "And we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all churches, and not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord and the declaration of your ready mind, avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance which is administered by us, providing for honest things not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. And we have sent with them our brother, whom we have oftentimes proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent upon a great confidence which I have in you. Whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you. Or our brethren be inquired of, they are the apostles of the churches and of the glory of Christ. So there's a couple guys whose names we don't really have there. And Titus is not mentioned as an apostle. I could not find anywhere where Titus is mentioned as an apostle. But I believe Titus was one. I believe he had authority. Paul said, set in order the things that are lacking in the churches, ordain elders. He had some authority going on with him. I can't prove with the scripture that Titus was one, but I believe he was. So we've got the two brethren that were messengers or apostles of churches. Let's add them up. We've got Matthias, Paul, Barnabas, Andronicus, Junia, Silvanus, Timothy, James, Epaphroditus, Apollos, and the two brethren. The 12 apostles of the Lamb plus these equal 24. That includes Judas before his fall. I can name some apostles today. Dick Benjamin was an apostle, is an apostle. He's up in years. Jim Feeney was ordained as an apostle. There are others outside of our ministry group that are regarded as apostles. And I just know, I have always regarded Dick Benjamin as a father and Lord to me, because it's been through his ministry that most of the things have been imparted in my life. Now, a lot of those were under a pastor who also imparted a lot, but the overall covering was with Dick Benjamin. And I praise God for the things that he ministered. They've kept me alive. When I've fallen, they've kept me from going any further, because the foundational truths, things that he's placed, taught, things have just been placed in me, and they're just hard to shake. You get them rooted and grounded in your heart, and it's like, well, you're gonna have to dynamite this out if you gotta change it, because you gotta show me, you gotta validate for me to change. But again, if scripture comes and shows me, I'm good with that. Another proof that there were more than 12 apostles. Turn to 2 Corinthians 11. Wherefore, because he's talking about his boasting and stuff, he says, because I love you not, God knows, but what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Simple conclusion, if there's only 12 apostles, you just send their picture around to everybody. This is them. Anybody else is a phony. There were guys who were apostles, posing as apostles. They were false. But that also means that there were apostles that weren't recognized by everybody. So that means there was more than 12. In Revelations 2:2, he says, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and how you cannot bear them which are evil. You've tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. Well, if there's only 12, anybody that comes in and says they're apostles is a liar. You don't have to have discernment. You say, are you one of the 12? You're a liar. But he says you've tried them. You've tested them to see if they met biblical qualifications. So there were false apostles that they tried, found to be liars. All things are judged by the word of God, including the various ministries. True and honest ministries will welcome you, judging them by the word. Their desire is to fulfill and obey it, and they welcome the light of the word on their lives. Any ministry that doesn't want you shining the beacon of God's word as a standard on it is somewhat suspect. That's a red light, a red flag to me immediately. If you can't just shine the light of God's word and say, how does it stack up? If you have to hide things. Paul did everything out in the open. He didn't want anything to be mistaken. Can anyone become an apostle? Jason, you want to be an apostle?
Sure.
You can be if you're called. We already read Ephesians 4, 7. I'm not going to wear you down by reading it every time. But look at the bullets there. It says in verse 7, each person individually is given grace that's measured and given according to the will of Christ. Not everyone is given the same grace. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9, Paul says, I'm the least of the apostles. I'm not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. I like this next statement because even though he felt the one way, like, man, I don't deserve this because I persecuted God's church. But then he says, but by God's grace, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed on me was not in vain. I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. It almost sounds like he's bragging there. I don't believe he is. I believe he made a realistic evaluation. He said, this is what God made me. And I gave myself to it. I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I. It was God's grace that was moving me that way, causing me to be doing these things. How many apostles were there of the Lamb? Okay. How many do you really know about? We know Peter. We see him traveling back and forth a little bit to Galatia and getting reproved by Paul. We don't hear anything about Libius called Thaddeus or Judas. It's like, well, what did he do? We don't know. I believe some had a more predominant outreach? Did those guys travel? I don't know. I don't know anything about them other than they were apostles. They were there at Jerusalem when there were some meetings. But we know about Paul. We know about a little bit about Silvanus. We know a little bit about Epaphroditus. The biggest example we have is Paul. I'm not sure if we sometimes take that as the example, because we got some of these other apostles maybe were a little more in the background, but they were still apostles. And so we look at an apostle needing to be like Paul, that I am what I am by the grace of God, I'm doing it more abundantly than all. And then this other guy comes in. Hi. I'd like to speak to you today. You know, and we think, well, he can't be an apostle. He's nothing like the last guy that came in. Man, that guy stirred my soul. Somebody that comes in and just speaks like this can leave a deposit in your heart if you hear him.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because it's not all in the outward. It's in the truth that's manifested. You need to bear that with apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Not everyone's the same. The next bullet there, if Christ measures out these graces in Ephesians 4, 7 through 11, is it something we desire to attain, or is it a calling that he's given us grace to fulfill? Paul knew his was the grace of God. We see in 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7, if any man desires the office of an elder, he desires a good work. And then there's a list of qualifications as well as in Titus, the first chapter, that should be in the life of any man desiring such a work. This can be desired by any man. And we're going to look at the ministry of elders in a later lesson. But the fivefold ministries are graces that are given by Christ. You either have them or you don't. That's why when we talk to people and say, well, do you have a call of God in your life? I'm not talking about just, well, I'd like to be this. I mean, and not everybody will have it the same. I got saved on Thursday. And I knew somewhere immediately in there, I'd say the first few days, that God had called me to be something. Because I also knew it from before I got saved. Standing in the Lutheran church, bummed out, depressed, doing drugs, and looking at the picture, the glass, stained glass picture of Christ praying at the Garden of Gethsemane. And God speaking to me saying, I want you to be a pastor. I said, no way. I'm doing drugs. You got to go through school, all that. Forget that stuff. So I told him. I got saved. It's like, I've called you to something. I knew it. I didn't know what. I didn't know about the fivefold ministry until I started hearing it at church. But if God has a call on your life, you will know you have a call on your life. And then you give yourself to it like Paul did. Let that grace work in your life. But you have it or you don't. And part of the church's problem of improper structure and doctrine in this day and age is because there are people in positions of fivefold ministry through desire and not through grace. I'm going to look at these five areas where Jesus was all five of these ministries, and then we'll call it quits for tonight. These five ministries, called fivefold, were given after Christ ascended. And in Hebrews 3, verse 1, we see that Jesus was the apostle. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. He was the apostle. Acts 3, verse 20. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. Jesus was that prophet. Luke 19, verse 10. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He is the evangelist. That's what the evangelist is doing, drawing people in. In John 10, verse 11, he said, I am the good shepherd. It's the word pastor. John 3, verse 2, they told him, Nicodemus was talking to him, said, we know that you are a teacher come from God. So what Jesus did in essence was he took what made up his life, his ministry, and he divided it into the church as far as the graces, so that there would be apostles, so that there would be prophets, that there would be teachers, pastors, evangelists, because he himself walked in all those roles. Now, I don't think there's anybody on the face of the earth that's going to walk in all five of those roles. Well, I am the apostle and prophet. No, because he divided them. He parceled them out so that we would be a body ministry and he would remain the head. So that no man would glory in their gifts, graces, and abilities. And we have nothing to glory about to begin with because everything we have is given by him. Wealthy man can't glory that he's got the money that he has on his own. Because Psalm 75, I believe it says, God sets one up and he puts another down. He allows it to happen. And whatever we have, we can thank him for. And especially when it comes to areas of inner graces, we don't have anything that he didn't give us. It's a gift. So all we can do is use them for his glory. All right. We're going to end right there. We'll pick up on what did the apostles do next week. Well, actually, I'll probably, since I'm only doing one lesson next week, I'll probably just go ahead with the basic foundations, since we're moving along through that. So you do not have to bring this book next week.